Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's unprecedented growth in defence sector, indigenization and modernization of Indian armed forces. The participants are Lieutenant General Dr. Subrata Saha, former Deputy Chief of Army Staff and member of the National Security Advisory Board, and Mayank Singh, journalist.
Welcome, listeners, to this special program on the way the indigenization is going to strengthen our armed forces and the way they are doing it right now. All this we saw during the Operation Sindoor, that how indigenized weaponry and systems had helped us to our armed forces to make the enemy capitulate. And to talk on all this and more, we have with us an eminent expert, Lieutenant General Subrata Saha, who had been the Deputy Chief of Army Staff, and he had a very vast experience under his belt, in which he also played a very eminent role in indigenization of defense production. He also had been the Corps Commander of 15 Corps, which is based out of Srinagar and handles low-intensity conflict. Lieutenant General Saha, welcome to this special program.
Thank you very much.
Enlighten our listeners the way during Operation Sindoor, our forces utilize the indigenized weaponry and the way the things have changed for the good of the armed forces and also towards the defense production.
In Operation Sindoor, I think one of the most significant part was a very prominent display of indigenized weapon systems. And I am emphasizing the word weapon systems because the air defense system particularly, we saw a very significant networking of weapon systems led by a network, so to speak, of indigenization at play over here. You could see on your television screens, starting from Jammu and Kashmir all the way down to Bhuj, how several attempts of small, medium drones, in some cases swarms of drones, some missiles, trying to attack civilian targets, military targets across the entire length of the front, trying to engage targets in India, and almost 100% success in disrupting those attacks we had with our indigenous systems, primarily driven by air defense system. Of course, they were integrated with our old legacy systems, and they were integrated also with the absolutely state-of-the-art S-400 imported from Russia. But the backbone system or the framework system was Akash. So there is no doubt that the indigenization was at its full display in this Operation Sindoor. Now, if you were to compare it with the air defense system of the enemy, how easily we were able to penetrate when the strikes took place against those terrorist targets across the front, and all the air bases were attacked by India very, very precisely. And ultimately, that is what got Pakistan down to their knees. And they had to go to the U.S. seeking for a cessation of hostilities. And that is what, finally India agreed when their DGMO spoke to our DGMO that, okay, fine, we will have a suspension of hostilities. So that is clearly the effect of the, what we were able to achieve through indigenization. And this is but a small demonstration. And I think we have to keep building on this further as we go along. And we have to stay ahead of the curve and become much, much stronger in an indigenized manner. And ultimately, we have to win India's wars with Indian solutions. There is no other option. We have to do that.
Operation Sindoor was a reflection of lots of things which were amalgamated together. And in that aspect, while our Prime Minister was meeting the armed forces personnel at different places, he spoke about how the indigenized weapons, missiles and systems had helped during Operation Sindoor.
Operation Sindoor mein manpower ke saath hi machine ka coordination bhi adbhut raha. भारत के पारंपरिक एयर डिफेंस सिस्टम हो, जिन्होंने अनेक लड़ाइयां देखी हैं, या फिर आकाश जैसे हमारे मेड इन इंडिया प्लेटफॉर्म हो, इनको S-400 जैसे आधुनिक और सशक्त डिफेंस सिस्टम ने अभूतपूर्व मजबूती दी है।
Jal Sahab, let us also talk about the way things have changed in terms of niche technology, asymmetric warfare, and the way the low-cost prohibitive technologies and disruptive technologies are changing the entire character of warfare, which we also saw the way Ukraine used drones, which was low-cost drones, to hit the bombers of the Russia. And please explain the viewers, or to make them understand better the things, the way they are changing, please throw some light on that.
Both Ukraine as well as what we are seeing in this war which is happening in Israel. In both of them, you can see it's a combination of what we talk about asymmetric warfare. And, well, it has gone past gray zone warfare, but it has got the peripheries of a gray zone, asymmetric. It's a mix of all of that.
And hybrid warfare.
You can see all of them put together. Yes, very nicely put, hybrid. And why do I say that? Because today, anybody who is thinking innovatively is able to come out with smarter ideas and apply technology to get much higher returns of investment. Because platform thinking is being replaced by kill chain thinking. You know, platforms are very expensive. So instead of trying to upgrade platforms, how do you improve the kill chain? That means, can you find a smarter way to get a better kill? This last, Operation Spiderweb that you have just referred to, what did they do? In those road carriers, they managed to hide the drones, take it inside, take it right up to the target. Obviously, it required a great deal of planning, a great deal of integration and coordination. They were able to deliver the drones onto the targets. Will they be able to do it the second time? The answer is maybe not. But will they do it the second time? The answer is no. They will think of something more innovative. So that is why it is constantly a cycle of people who are thinking and staying ahead of the adversary, leveraging technology by applying themselves. So that is why I think the essence of this warfare is, how do we combine the best minds all the time, so which will call for a very good and strong collaboration of academia, industry, and the armed forces. Armed forces are designed, trained to win larger wars, and fundamentally that way. They also keep adapting, they also keep evolving, they are also wargaming all the time. But there is a lot in the younger generation which is constantly, working with these technologies, and their minds are much more agile, and they can keep them abreast with what is happening in warfare, keep them constantly engaged in this conversation. They can come up with some brighter ideas. And if you have some startups, not large industries, who are also equally agile, you get a very potent combination which can help you to stay ahead and, in fact, determine the outcomes of future war.
Jal Sahab, can you talk to the listeners and make them understand how innovation has been brought in, and how, the way you were saying, that academia, the research scholars, think tanks, and industry has been brought together to strengthen the defense production?
You see, for example, as deputy chief, I had a team of six brigadiers. And at that time, if you recollect, 2014, soon after taking over as the Prime Minister, Prime Minister Modi, in his speech from the Red Fort, his first speech from the Red Fort, he had made literally a clarion call that we have steel, we have resolve. So whether it is a submarine or whether it is in the space, come make in India. So he had made that announcement there. And in September that year, this Make in India policy was announced. So to actualize that policy, and actually after commanding 15 Corps, I landed up as deputy chief. So with a team of six brigadiers, we were on an intense outreach program. Every weekend, we used to be in different, corners of the country, academic industrial hubs, reaching out, telling the people this is what we require. And in the next 10, 12, 15 years. So initially, people were surprised that they were thinking we were giving out open what we require. But we had to tell them that if we don't tell our people, we have to tell the foreigners. So it is better to tell our own people than to give this whole process some institutional framework. So the Army Design Bureau was created in 2016. So that is how, this process of collaboration was given shape from the Army's point of view. And then, of course, after retirement, my first assignment was officiating the founding Director General of Society of Indian Defense Manufacturers. It was a CII initiative, and we had a Society for Indian Defense Manufacturers exclusively. So that's how, you know, like you see how you form formulations. And now, of course, I'm closely involved. We are trying to create a consortium of all the Indian Institutes of Technologies to bring together all of them. And basically, it's for the purposes, we call it the Manekshaw Center for Research and Studies to do with national security. The whole purpose is that the academia, industry, and the armed forces have to come together and collaborate with each other so that you get the foundations for achieving this goal of winning India's wars with Indian solutions. Because, A, to get the right weapon systems, weapons and systems for our own requirements. Because ours is a unique situation where we are dealing with a northern front and a western front, which where we have two countries operate as a nexus. They literally operate as one. Ours is a unique situation where we have got temperatures in which we are operating in the high altitude mountains of minus 50 degrees centigrade to the deserts in the west where we are operating in temperatures of plus 50 degrees centigrade during summers. So this kind of, you know, diverse and wide temperature ranges that we are operating in, it is unique to us. So we have to find solutions that are unique to us. And this term that I'm using again and again, this was my favorite exhortation in those times when we were reaching out to industry and academia in India's wars with Indian solutions. It is not only to do with weapons and systems, it is also to do with our Indian way of thinking, strategic thinking. There is a lot of wisdom which was there in our past from where we have to draw into our strategic discourse, into the way we think, into the way that applies to the way we want to achieve our outcomes, and into the way we apply our principles into how we think and do business. When I say business, how we execute our operations for achieving outcomes towards achieving national goals. I think that is significant. And the most important is, we have been talking about this gray zone even today again and again. This is the kind of warfare in which, frankly, there is no break. More so when you're dealing with a country like Pakistan operating in close nexus with China. Because from the time that Pakistan was formed in 47, 48 through 65, it has always been trying to operate below the conventional threshold. 71 was a different ballgame. Bangladesh was liberated. But after the Soviet invasion and the Soviet withdrawal, Zia made it very clear. He said that we will use all the arms, ammunition that is left for a constant, you know, attempt to keep it below the threshold level, indulge in this proxy war against India. And they started with Punjab, J&K. It is never ending. So we have been able to bring things to a large extent under control after 5th August 2019. But we have been able to bring things under control. But to keep it absolutely zero, it is going to be a long time. So we have to be prepared for all kinds of, you know, threats that will keep surfacing, because as we keep building our security, as I said, there are others who are constantly applying themselves on how to take advantage and exploit the typical freedom that a person enjoys in a democratic setup. They are constantly applying themselves to it and trying to make penetration into that. In scenarios like this, it is very significant and important that we make sure that our abilities are indigenous and we are able to deal with all these threats on our own without having to depend on any import for this.
Thank our eminent expert today, Lieutenant General Subrat Saha.
Thank you very much. Jai Hind.
You are listening to a discussion on India's unprecedented growth in defense sector, indigenization and modernization of Indian armed forces. The participants were Lieutenant General Dr. Subrata Saha, former Deputy Chief of Army Staff and member of the National Security Advisory Board, and Mayank Singh, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Spotlight.